Welcome to the Smart Investing Podcast, brought to you by Money and Me, an investor education and awareness initiative by PGIM India Mutual Fund.
The year was 2023, and that is when I first realized that along with SIPs, there's another investing method that exists called STP. Welcome to PGIM India Mutual Fund presents Smart Investing, everybody. Ahalya here, keeping you company. Yes, it's been a while, and yes, it's worth the wait. Because today we're going to be spotlighting an interesting conundrum that many investors do face in their investing journeys, and that is whether to invest through SIPs, which are systematic planned payments, right? Or whether to invest through lump sum methods. Now, both methods can be beneficial, but it depends purely on your unique financial journey and your circumstances, which is why Ravi and Lisa are going to be breaking it down to the T so that you understand what method works best for you and what can work best for you in the future. A very interesting conversation coming up. Let's dive in. Over to you, Ravi.
Thanks, Ahalya. Welcome to all our listeners. In today's episode, we would attempt to solve a common dilemma investors face, which is to invest lump sum or SIP. Now, markets have been volatile, and you might be wondering, do you invest all at once or just start an SIP? Is consistency key to wealth, or can timing the market give you that extra edge? We have with us Lisa to help us delve into this topic. So Lisa, what's your personal approach to investing? Do you prefer SIPs or lump sums? And I know this is not a new question, but do you think it's a fair comparison at all?
Hi, Ravi. Yeah, I mean, personally, I do prefer the SIP mode. And you're right in pointing out that maybe the comparison itself is unfounded. What investors need to understand is that what we call SIP, the systematic investment plan, is merely a facility. It allows you and me to predetermine our preferred investment date and the amount each year, or it can be each quarter, and it allows us to automate that investment, right? I don't have to give a fresh instruction to my bank at the start of each month or quarter, and the amount fixed for the investment moves into the fund identified already on a pre-fixed date. This is a facility. The underlying fund where your money is getting invested remains the same. Whether you choose to make a one-time lump sum or use the SIP facility to invest in this fund, it's entirely up to you. So if the underlying fund is the same, or at least that's the choice you have to keep it the same, then how can one way to invest be better than the other, right? That's the question. The choice of whether you use the lump sum route or the SIP route will really depend on your cash flows and the current circumstance that you have. For those who earn a regular, like monthly income, SIPs do make perfect sense as they align monthly inflows and outflows. But if your income is sporadic rather than being linear, then perhaps lump sums are the way you'll choose. Now, you can even make lump sums in funds where your SIP is already active. Say if you have a windfall gain or bonus or something like that. So that's how one should kind of visualize SIP or lump sum.
Yeah, so what I understand is that the underlying fund that you choose to invest is more important rather than the mode of investing. So if an investor has the ability to both choose, you know, lump sum as well as SIP and he's confused, how should they go about it?
Yeah, so you're right. So underlying fund is more important. SIP is actually a great way to build the habit of regular investing. As I said earlier, you prefix everything, the date of the investment each month, the amount, the underlying fund, and you can even fix the long-term period for which you will invest using an SIP. Once it's automated by connecting your bank account, you can just forget about it and the money keeps getting invested. It is a great way to make productive use of money from your bank account, which you may otherwise be tempted to spend. In other words, SIP is really a behavior tool, as I see it, which makes us more disciplined and regular with our investments. Because you invest regularly, you are able to invest across market cycles, up and down, thus taking advantage of the near-term or short-term volatility. It's a facility that can be used across fund types. So if you want, you can build your emergency fund using SIPs made in liquid funds. You don't need to have a lump sum accumulating in your bank for that. For regular salaried employees, as I said before, there are several benefits of using the SIP route. If you were to compare a lump sum and SIP in terms of return, though, then the lump sum starts on the same day as the SIP and will look better in the long run because Indian equity market has moved in one direction, which is up over the last, you know, several years or decades. So the lump sum start date in a span of, say, 8 to 10 years would be the lowest point in a sense. Whereas the SIP, there are many buy points. Some will be up and some will be lower. Let me just, you know, clarify this with an example. Had you invested a lump sum amount in the Nifty 50 index on the 1st of January 2015, after 10 years, the value of your investment would be up by 2.85 times. This is on, you know, real value of the Nifty 50 index. Whereas if you had started an SIP on the same date, 1st Jan 2015, then after 10 years, the value of your investment would have grown by 2.04 times. So slightly lower than the lump sum. But the difference is that the lump sum could have been just a one-time investment that you made, say rupees 1 lakh or 10 lakh 10 years ago. But by doing the SIP, you would have saved and invested a significantly higher amount of money, given that there is something getting invested every month over 10 years. And so it's really the disciplined, regular investment behavior, which is the biggest benefit of a facility like SIP.
So Lisa, SIP is a great facility from a discipline and behavioral perspective. So should investors invest through the lump sum route at all?
Yeah, Ravi, let me take this from a different perspective, right? There is also another facility known as the Systematic Transfer Plan or STP. With this, you can break down any large sums you want to invest and stagger the investment just like you plan an SIP. Say you get a bonus from work and decide to invest 60% of the amount in mutual funds as per your goals. This is a lump sum you have ready to invest. Now, the STP allows you to break up your lump sum and invest a little at a time. This could be useful for investing in equity currently as well, because the market is quite uncertain and volatile. However, say you want to keep 30% of this amount towards a stable return investment, because say 2 years down the line, you envisage buying a house and you need to build up the corpus to make the down payment. Then that amount you can actually invest in a lump sum. Thus, for volatile assets, some form of staggered investing is better. And for stable return assets, lump sums can also work well if you have the capital handy. In any case, if you want to invest regularly, SIP is, of course, the best option regardless of the asset type. Also, you have an option for SIP in something like a gold fund if you want to build a substantial allocation to gold over a period of time. So ultimately, whether you choose SIP or lump sum will depend, of course, on the goals that you have and what you want to do with the money. But yes, for volatile assets, SIPs always work well. And where the risk is low, lump sums can also work.
Yeah, Lisa. So one common question many investors might have is that, can SIP give you negative returns because you're investing in a market-linked product like mutual fund? So people might think, you know, whether they're investing in debt, gold, or any kind of fund, can SIP give you negative returns?
Yeah, Ravi, it's important to, I think, remind investors again and again that SIP is a facility and the underlying asset is what will determine the nature of your returns. It really depends on the market condition of the category or the asset that you are investing in. The chances of negative returns are relatively low in debt funds, depending on the category again, like overnight, liquid, short term are relatively low risk funds or categories. But in equity funds, the chances of earning negative returns, especially immediately after your investment, are reasonably high, especially if you're planning, say, a short term investment. Then you have to be careful. You should have a long-term view when doing SIPs in equity funds particularly. a recent article by the Economic Times showed that SIPs across equity fund categories don't result in losses if held for at least 10 years. So as an asset, we already know that equities is a long-term asset and helps in creating wealth over a longer period of time. And the same applies if you're using the SIP facility to invest in equities. So while there will be volatility in between over the long run, there is, you know, potential that you end up getting positive returns, whether you use SIP or not. It depends on the underlying asset.
Yes, patience helps in creating long-term wealth, you know, especially in equities. Another common question that we keep getting is how long should one continue their SIP? And if they get a monthly, you know, surplus, then how should they go about investing it?
Yeah, so you can practically continue your SIP for as many years as you desire. If the underlying fund continues to perform within the upper quartile, which means top 25% of the category, there is no need to change or stop investing. The good thing about mutual fund investing is that you can withdraw partial amounts for the goals you have earmarked and leave the rest invested. If every year you want to increase your aggregate SIP amount, you can simply increase the SIP for your existing fund itself rather than adding a new one. This is known as a SIP top-up. Top up your SIP, withdraw partial amounts if needed, or pause when needed. It's all possible given the flexibility of mutual fund investing and the SIP structure. So the other prudent way to approach it is to keep perhaps separate SIPs for each of your identifiable or given goals. That way you know where to dip into when one goal is closer to achievement. I guess what I'm saying is that SIPs are not just good for automating behaviors and smoothing out volatility, but also they are flexible enough to allow for changes in your financial goals and objectives over time. So coming back to the question, yes, you can continue your SIP for as long as you need to.
Yeah, great, Lisa. So I think we have covered a lot of ground today, and most of the experienced investors would already understand what we are discussing today. But it's a great start for those who are just beginning to invest in mutual funds through SIP or lump sum. So I would like to sum up the five key learnings that I had from this episode. So the first one is, since SIPs are automated, it's a great way to make productive use of your money, which is lying in your bank account, which you may otherwise be tempted to spend. The second learning is that for volatile assets like equities, some form of staggered investing is better, and for stable return assets, lump sum can also work if you have the capital handy. So there's no harm investing a lump sum in debt-oriented funds or low-risk funds like arbitrage funds. The third learning is that SIP can be used to save for any goal, be it short-term or long-term. The fourth learning, keep a separate SIP for each of your identifiable goals. That way, you know where to dip into when you're closer to your achievement. The fifth and final learning is that the chances of earning negative returns through SIP investments in equity funds are nil if the holding period is longer, say, 10 years. Thanks, Lisa, once again. We will catch you in the next episode soon.
Thanks, Ravi. And as I said, SIPs have worked for me very beautifully, and I have found no reason to change that. And I hope that it continues for many years after as well.
And there you have it, a total breakdown of SIPs versus lump sum investments. You know, when I found out that STPs are a thing, that they exist, I was like, where has this been all my life? Because for me, at that point, it was a great way to invest and keep that habit alive without compromising on it or my savings. So I just think that all of these tools are only as good as you make them to be. And of course, conversations like this and guidance like this that we receive on the podcast is what helps us get there. Yeah. So like I said, well worth the wait. I hope this one gave you something to think about, and we'll be back with another episode soon. I promise. Stay safe, stay happy, and of course, happy investing. Adios.
Mutual fund investments are subject to market risks. Read all scheme related documents carefully.
You are listening to the Smart Investing Podcast, brought to you by Money and Me, an investor education and awareness initiative by PGIM India Mutual Fund.